Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace as we look into the law of liberty, this wonderful teaching this evening. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor this evening. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to expound verses 20 through 25. And I need your attention right up here on the screen. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "The Law Was Our Tutor." The law was our tutor. And before we get started in this study, I just want to give you an overview. We're in the book of Galatians chapter 3, and what we've been learning throughout these chapters was a common foe to the church, and that was the Judaizers. We spoke about them in chapter 1 and chapter 2. But I love this portion now as we get a little further in chapter 3. Paul starts to talk about that the law of God was a taskmaster. That's what tutor means. And it was good for you and I. Let me just say this as my own personal testimonial is that I'm thankful for the law. Why? Because the law pointed out my sin. The law pointed out my error. The law showed me that I was falling short of the glory of God. You see, without the law, men and women would just live a rebellious lifestyle without any conviction, without any knowing that there was a law that was intact, created by God, that mankind would learn to operate under the law of God. See, without the laws, just look at it in the most simplistic terms. Without the law, our city would be in total chaos. The law brings order. The law brings government. The law brings sometimes apprehension. But here's what the law could not do according to the scriptures. It could not save you and I. That's right. It could not save. See, the law would condemn us and actually put us to death. Why? Because we have fallen so short of a holy God. God is holy and there is no darkness in him. And we are filled with darkness coming into this world. We're spiritually dead, physically alive, but spiritually dead. And so something has to revive us. Something has to be birthed in us. Something has to allow us to come alive unto God so that then the grace of God, the mercy of God would be upon us so that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see and know who the Holy Spirit is in our life. And that could only be given through God's grace. And so, as we're learning these valuable epistles written by Paul, one of the common denominators is sin. You see, the Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How many of you at home want eternal life? I do. And guess what? If you're a true child of God, you have been given eternal life. You will live forever with God. This shell that we live in, this body, is basically just a house. And it has to go back to the dust. And so, my hope, though, is that many of us who are listening right now will never have to experience physical death. I know I don't. Because the Bible says that there is a sting of death. But that's what Jesus came to overcome, death, hell, and the grave. So Paul said it best, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, my friends, you and I have to understand that there is a law in place. Listen, just in a scientific term, We are confined to this earth by the law of gravity. God created gravity on this planet Earth. Why? Because if He did not create the law of gravity, we would float away. And if these bodies could float and hit the atmosphere, we would burn up and disintegrate like a cinder. Why? Because the gravity keeps us here on this earth. And it's enough gravity so that we can walk and run. Praise God. But that's just one law. There are so many laws that God has created. But the one that He's most concerned about is the moral law. About the heart. About our mind. About the condition of sin in our life. You see, the Bible says that we were conceived in our mother's womb, but as soon as conception took place, the Bible already says we were conceived in iniquity. And so when we are thrust out of our mother's womb, we already have the sin nature that was passed down from Adam. And so throughout the ages, since Adam and Eve and mankind has been on this planet for 6,000 years, God had to create the law to keep order in the world. Praise God. And so it was God's creation of the law. But what we're finding out in Scripture, that the law could not do one thing, and that was save us. No, it couldn't. It pointed out all of our sins, our negativity, everything that we have fallen short of the grace of God. The law of God will point it out. But here comes Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It was God's grace. It was His mercy. The Bible says no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. So the Father drew us to the Son, but it was through a heart of repentance. God quickens us so that we could turn to Him. Oh, come on. Look at your BC years. Did you have a mind for God? Did you have a desire to love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Did you wake up did you come into this world automatically having devotional time? No. All these things took place after we got saved. And God, hallelujah, saved us by His grace and mercy. Now we're understanding that the law was good. Paul said it was good. Why? Because without the law, he would have never known that what he was doing was evil against the church until he had his conversion. And so, my friends, I'm excited. So here we go. Let's look at this again. The law was our tutor. That is our message for this evening. The law was our tutor. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 20 through 25. And here we go. Let's read. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. And we know that's not the case. Verse 22, but the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Did you catch that, my friends? That might believe. Look at this. Who believe? Look at this. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Kept for the faith which could afterward be revealed. It was revealed after salvation, my friends. Look at this. Verse 24 and 25. Therefore, the law was our tutor. In the King James means it was our taskmaster. Praise God. Praise God. That Christ might be justified by faith. Look at that. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Aren't you so blessed that we're not under the law? Because the law would condemn us. The law would kill us. The law would send you and I to hell. Oh, that's right. There's a lot of churches that won't talk about hell no more. But there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And there's no in-between. There's no purgatory. There's no holding space. Once a person dies, If they die in Christ, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But someone that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately they are tossed into the abyss, a place called hell. That's not the lake of fire. Hell is a holding place where all who rejected the love of God are being tormented day and night. They cannot die. And God is reminding them throughout their life and how God witnessed to them through you and I, through people around the world, through life in itself. And they refused the grace of God. Those are the people that will be tormented 24/7. And then in the white throne judgment, before God renovates the whole entire world, He will toss them into the lake of fire prepared for Satan and his demons. So saints, this is why we need to take heed and understand that you and I were saved by grace through faith. And we cannot boast in ourselves because it was the gift of God that saved us. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So saints, to have a mediator obviously means that two people are involved in the agreement. A mediator works between two or more parties to aid in the communication, saints of God. It affects an agreement, and it also does settle a dispute. There needs to be a mediator. And Moses implied in verse 19 last week was the mediator communicated between God and Israel during this time. And through angels, God would use angels, and He mediated the law to Moses, who then gave it to the people. And the law, my friends, could be compared to a contract, which is valid only as long as both sides keep the sides of that agreement. Now, while God kept His people, the people of Israel, they found out that they could not keep their end of the bargain. However, God acted on His own, saints of God, when He made His promise to Abraham. There was no mediator. Understand this. The promises were given and would be kept by God, regardless of the actions of the people. And so, my friends, the promise is superior to the law. Why? Because the promise is from God alone. Praise God. And it was meant for eternity and would not be broken. The law and its mediator, which was Moses, were temporary. It was preparatory arrangement, saints of God, designed to confirm the truth of God's ultimate desire. And His desire was to relate directly with His creatures, us, His created beings. And so, once again, let's look at this. God made a promise to Abraham. The promises are still valid today, because it was imputed upon him that he believed in God and the righteousness of God came upon him. But then down thousands of years later, Moses came and God gave him the law. But the promises were before the law. The law was in place so that mankind could be governed through the law of God. But that was not the end result. The end result, Jesus would come and save us not only from the law, but save us from a place called hell. Oh, that's right, saints of God. You see, Paul did not put down Moses, but showed the primacy of Christ's way of faith over the law. Praise God. Look at this right here, found in 1 Timothy. Now, let's start with verse 20 as we move on. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one God, but God is one. Look at this. In 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, what? A ransom for all to be testified in due time. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed? You see, Moses was temporarily in the Old Testament, but Jesus now is the ultimate mediator between God and man. That's why the Bible says, no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. So the Father draws you to the Son. He becomes the mediator. Let me just say this in layman's terms. Once a soul repents and gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now Jesus washes you in His blood, then the next step is He fills you with His Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit is living inside you, the holiness of God can live inside this sinful body. Why? Because the soul has been washed in the blood, not the body. Because the body will go back to the dust. But our soul and spirit has been saved. And the power of God, the blood of Jesus, covers us. So now, when God the Father looks down and sees you and I, no matter where you are on this planet, He doesn't see our sin no more. He sees the blood. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because our great, awesome God, who is our mediator, took care of it for His Father. And now we are children of the Most High God. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Aren't you so blessed that God took care of our business through the Lord Jesus Christ? Look what it says in Hebrews. Look at this for a moment. Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than of Abel. Praise God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed? It was Jesus, hallelujah, who washed away our sins. So let's move on to verse 21. And it says, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. You see that, my friends? That would have been totally impossible, because the law cannot give life. You see, my friends, Paul raised another question that might have been troubling his listeners. Is there a conflict between God's law and God's promises? Well, as we've been learning, the Judaizers might have even concluded that Paul was inferring that the law was evil. No, not at all. It was not evil. Paul answered with an emphatic, absolutely not. Both the promises and the law were given by God, and both are important, but for different reasons, as I've been alluding to, saints of God, as I've been teaching you. You see, my friends, God offered eternal life through the promises. Praise God. Paul's use of the phrase new life refers to spiritual life, as illustrated by such other passages as we're going to look right now in John 6, 33. Look at this. In John 6, 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. I hope you catch this. Catch this in your spirit, my friends. I'm praying that God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see, that you will put on your spiritual lenses right now. It is the Spirit, look at this, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus understood the concept. Look what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. But of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, look at this, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Wow. And that a blessing, saints, to know that? Huh? Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made what? Alive. Alive. Praise God. Praise God. And in 2 Corinthians, look at this. Look at this. Chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Here it is. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. What is the letter? The letter is the law, the written word of God. But the spirit, hallelujah, my friends, gives life. The Holy Ghost gives life. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, I'm telling you, the corners of my mouth were pinned to my ears. I had this joy unspeakable, full of glory. And here's what I love about the Lord. He's never left me, nor has He ever forsaken me. He's been with me for 33 years now. And I'm walking in the call that He has planned out for my life. Let me just say this. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And my friends, I truly believe those who are attending churches on a regular basis, that are plugged in, that have devotional time, that love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind. They love their neighbor as themselves. They demonstrate it by loving their family. They're loving those in the church. They're loving things in life. Those are what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, and gentleness. The Bible says you can have as much as you want. There is no law against having any more. You can have as much as you want. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And every born-again believer that's a child of God has that. But it's those who are not God's children. They could go so long faking it, but inside there's internal turmoil. Inside they're empty. Why? Because they've never been born again. They've never been born of the Spirit of God. And they don't know what it's like to have now an open communication with the Father. They don't hear His voice. And God, according to the Bible, He doesn't hear them. Why? Because the Bible is clear. If you're not born again, you're not one of His children. You have to go through what the Bible says. Repent. Cry out to God for mercy and grace. And then be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, my friends, all these things must take place. And then He will fill you with His Holy Spirit. You see, saints, the law's purpose was never to give that kind of life. If a law could have been given that people could obey perfectly, well, then the law would have given life and we could have been made right with God by obeying it. But see, my friends, the law is not evil. It is very good, but it's not for salvation. Praise God, praise God. It's not. And so, let's move on to verse 22. But the Scripture was confined, look at this, all under sin. Ooh, that's a key point right there. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, my friends, sin affects all of humanity without discrimination. We are all prisoners of sin. And by Scriptures, Paul may have had this one particular thing in mind from the Old Testament. You got to remember. Let's look at this in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. And all the people shall say amen. You see, let me just pause there for a moment. In the Old Testament, all they had was the law. And this is why they had to bring animal sacrifices to the temple. Because the animals had to shed their blood for a temporary covering. And so they had to do this time and time again until Jesus came. And once and for all, He came and He destroyed death, hell, and the grave. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Look at this right up here in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Okay, look at verse 11 right there, my friends. Look at verse 11. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Let me just pause there. You ever shared the gospel with people and they kind of like just scratch their head and they don't even know what you're talking about? They don't have a clue. They don't even have a clue, and they don't realize that they're sinners. They'll tell you, well, I'm glad you found God, but that's not for me. Well, why do they think that way? It's real simple. They're not born again. They cannot see God. They can't even see the law of God. Praise God. Let's go back and look at this. There is none who understands, and there is none who seeks after God. Look at this. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. That's everyone, my friends, that come into this world. Look at verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Let me pause right there. Look at society today. All the movies nowadays, I can't even watch them anymore. It's all cursing. And what really gets under my crawl, my skin, is when they bleepity bleepity bleep, and then comes out Jesus Christ. It's an offense. It should be an offense to you, and I know it's an offense to me. Why? Because Jesus is the one who went to a hideous cross to die for our sins, and now he's being ridiculed and mocked in movies throughout this world. And they don't even see what he has done for them. He came to die for their sins. He came to die for you and I. And this is why my heart cries out. You should have convictions regarding that issue, my friends. That they have cursing lips, poison of ass. Let's finish this verse. Look at this. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. 60 million aborted already in this nation. And I truly believe God is going to judge. God will judge. Let's look at this again in verse 16 and 17 and 18. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's just it right there. That's it right there. There's no fear of God. The culture, the woke culture, they have no fear of God, my friends. None. None whatsoever. Pornography is one of the most multi-billion industries in the United States. Oh, that's right. Pornography and abortion are money makers. And God's gonna ultimately have to judge. Why? Because it's causing good men and women to sin before God. See, in the Old Testament, one of the ways to get God to chastise his people was to entice them to sin against God. But this is what God would do. He would see the treacherous act of these unbelieving nations to cause his people to sin. God would chastise his people, and then after he's done chastising them, then he goes back to those people, the perpetrators, and he destroys them. That's the way God operates. He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why, my friends, keep your mouth off God's people. If you have an issue with someone, take it to God. But do not curse, do not talk about, do not backbite anyone that's walking with God. Because God will deal with you like he did, because that's his nature. So, my friends, please, 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 take heed to it. Let's look at what Isaiah says right here. Look at this, Isaiah 59, 7 through 8. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Look at that. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. Look at this. Oh, my God. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not what? They won't know any peace, my friends. They won't know any peace. Look what King David wrote in Psalms. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Wow, my friends. You see, these scriptures describe the universal sinfulness of human mankind. Oh, that's right. And what must be understood, saints of God, however, is that the scriptures speak with one voice when describing the human condition. You know what that means? You and I are sinners. Let's look at that right there. You and I are what? We're sinners. Sinners saved by grace. Praise God. That's what we are. We're saved by grace. And so, my friends, that's the condition of mankind right now. And through scriptures, we discovered that we could not even earn a right relationship with God by our good works. Why? Because our works were not good enough. They were always tainted by sin. But just like a dot of light shining into a dark prison cell, a ray of hope was shown for you and I. Oh yes, we were, you know, you and I maybe never spent one day in jail or in prison, but we were in jail, in prison. We were in prison to our sin until God set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God is the one that broke our chains of sin. And it was done by God's grace. It was His love before the foundation of the world. He already knew you and I. He already knew the plan for our life. Just listen, go back and just recall the day you got saved. For me, 33 years I got saved. It was 33 years ago. Little did I know He had a plan for my life. A wonderful plan. A plan that I would never trade in for anything in this world. But yet, many have walked away from their call. Many have walked away from the call of God. I'm here to hopefully encourage you to keep pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. You see, my friends, the law showed us our hopelessness on our own. Why? And it caused us to look elsewhere for hope. And it eventually directed us to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We missed the promises by trying to keep the law. But we found that the only way, saints of God, to receive God's promise is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. This is a good time to just say, thank you, Jesus. Come on. If you love the Lord, give Him a shout of praise. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, hallelujah, for delivering me. And He's saved you and delivered you as well. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 23. Look at this. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward, what? Be revealed. You see, thank God for the law. Thank God for the law. Saints of God, faith as spoken of the scriptures does not refer to some innate human power that we use to its greatest capacity, which gives us merit with God, no matter what the actual content or object of that faith is. No. The central point of the gospel is in whom. Say that with me at home. Is in whom our faith is placed in. That is in Christ. You see, my friends, Abraham was justified by his faith, and along with other Old Testament believers as well. And they had to trust in God's grace without knowing much of God's plan. Just imagine, they didn't have the Word of God like us. The Word of God has made it so convenient for you and I to look back at the stories, to look back at the apostles, to look back at the prophets, to read God's mercy and grace toward humanity. We can look back, but during the time that these ancient of old were going through, they had no reference other than to trust God and believe God. That's right, my friends. Hallelujah. They had no knowing of God's plan, but their faith was in the coming Savior. Praise God. And so, my friends, until people could put their faith in the Savior, in that Savior, the law kept them. It kept them where? It kept them in a kind of protective custody. Praise God. In other words, the law surrounded us. Saints, in a sense, it kept people out of trouble. It kept them away from the evil into which their natures might otherwise have led until faith in Christ would be revealed to you and I. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? How many are so blessed? How many are so blessed? Because as the scripture says right up here, one more time, what is it saying? It says that it was kept for the faith which would afterward, what? Be revealed. Praise God. Praise God. You see, the faith then sets people free from the law, but leads into the desire to want to obey God. How many of you want to obey God wholeheartedly out of love for Him? Praise God. I hope that's you. I hope you feel the same way. I can only share what I feel toward God. I can't make you feel the things that I feel toward God. You know why? Because it's a one-on-one relationship with Him. That's right. And our relationship should not be based on feelings anyway. It should be based on fact. It should be based on commitment. It should be based on pure love without any motives. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's look now at verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor, meaning taskmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be what? Justified by faith. Did you catch that, saints? You see, we were under the bondage of sin, and the law was a taskmaster, which the scriptures describe our disobedience to God. Oh, yeah. We were disobedient to God. I know I was. I was one of the greatest knuckleheads up until the age of 30. And that's when I got saved. I'm 63 now, and I haven't looked back. I'm just looking ahead to see what God has in store for my life and the life of my loved ones, my wife, our church. And I know it's great and mighty things to come. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Let's look at this for right now. In Romans 11:30. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they may also obtain what? Mercy. Look at this. For God has committed them to all disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of His riches. Say that with me at home, saints of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Wow. Wow, my friends. Isn't that something? You see, my friends, in the Greek culture, a guardian and a teacher was a slave who had the important responsibility for the children in a family. A wealthy family might have one guardian for each child. And this slave strictly disciplined the child. Oh, that's right. And it conducted the child to and from school and cared for the child, taught the child manners, praise God, and gave the child moral training. The guardian's role was temporary. He or she was responsible for the child until the child reached an adult age. Probably at the age of 16. This is in the Greek culture. And the picture of the law serving as a guardian and a teacher, saints of God, shows that the law was a temporary measure meant to lead us, you and I, until Christ came. Praise God. You see, this leading was meant in the sense of the law watching over us until we could receive our adulthood, our full relationship with the Father through Christ Jesus is coming into our life. And so, I'm so blessed. How many are so blessed to know that? And what was the ultimate purpose of the law, my friends? Paul repeated it in the last phrase, that through faith in Christ, we are made right with God. You see, the law had its usefulness in pointing out the wrong and providing constant reproof. You see, my friends, the law through imprisonment and discipline taught you and I, though negatively, that justification with God is really through faith alone. Praise God. And we are here because of God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to break down our last scripture in verse 25. Let's go there. And it reads, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a what? Tutor. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, once the child came of age, he or she no longer needed the services of the guardian. And since Christ has arrived, offering salvation by faith alone, people no longer need the supervision of the law. Praise God. Praise God. And see, the law teaches the need for salvation. God's grace offers that salvation. Hallelujah. How many believe that at home? However, saints of God, the Old Testament still applies today. In it, God has revealed His nature, His will for humanity, His moral laws, praise God, and His guidelines for living, praise God. The law still serves as a demanding instructor to those who have not yet believed. But we cannot be saved by keeping that law, praise God. Now that faith in Christ has come, we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so, my friends, as Paul will immediately demonstrate, the arrival of faith was not a static experience. Faith had its basic work in our being crucified with Christ. But it immediately pursues its ongoing task. What's that ongoing task? Let's look at Galatians right here. Hallelujah. 20 through 21. Paul said it best. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then what? Christ died in vain. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Listen, I'm here to let you know that soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. Oh, that's right. Oh, I know what that... Listen, look, right behind me, you see these clouds? The Bible says that Jesus is coming back in the clouds. The Bible tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. You see, the law cannot resurrect the dead. It's God's grace. It's God's power. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who has all power and authority now to raise us from the dead. Matter of fact, the law condemns us to death, but Jesus, hallelujah, He uses the law as a taskmaster that led you and I to Him. And now by God's grace, we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He's coming very soon, saints of God. And the Bible's clear. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. And he wrote this, and it's going to happen just like this. Trust me. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he wrote this down, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Are you catching this, saints? Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God is the God of all comfort and grace? You see, my friends, I'm here to let you know the next greatest event the entire world is going to see It's the rapture of the church. Oh, that's right. Many believers around the world that are alive right now, like you and I, we're going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be that fast. And this world is going to go into panic mode. Why? Because you and I will be gone. No longer here on this earth. We will be with the Lord forevermore. And we will be in brand new bodies. And they're going to freak out. They're going to freak out. And that's when the Antichrist will reveal himself, because they're going to want to be led by someone. It will definitely become a one world order. And the Antichrist will lead them, a majority of them, to destruction. So saints, that event is about ready to take place. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah and Lot. And we are in the days of Noah and Lot. How were the days back then of Noah and Lot? In Noah's day, it was violently wicked and very violent and so much evil. But in Lot's day, it was immorally corrupted. Oh, that's right. That's right. Men with men, women with women. And God never created that. He created them male and female. And they were to come together to procreate the world. And it's been perverted now by Satan. And God has to judge. God will have to judge. And so the next greatest event is this right here, found in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. There it is, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God has made a way? He's going to make a way for you and I to escape this untoward generation. You know, I know there's a lot of amillennialist churches believe that everything's going to get better. No, it's getting worse. Jesus never said that once it's perfect, like utopia, then I'll come for you. No, it's in chaos right now. Wars and rumors of wars, deceivers, false Christs, earthquakes in various places. Oh, that's right. Bloodshed everywhere, violence everywhere, just like the days of Lot and Noah. My friends, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. We are living in those last days that Jesus said we would see, and it's upon us now. And so, my friends, if you're logged in and you have never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you never cried out and said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And if that day never comes and you never give your heart to Christ and Jesus comes for his church, please don't let this, what you see, happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
You see, that's the billion-dollar question. Are you ready? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you. And all you have to do is invite them into your heart. One of the key scriptures that we find in the Word of God that talks about repentance, because it was the first time mentioned in the New Testament, is this right here. Look at this. Peter, the apostle, wrote this, well, actually spoke this, and Luke wrote it down in the book of Acts. In Acts 2, 38 through 39, then Peter said to them, repent, meaning make an about face and turn to God and turn your back to sin. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow, wow. Isn't that something, my friends? That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Praise God, praise God. And so, my friends, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And I'm going to ask once again the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that when the rapture comes, you'll be caught up to be with the Lord with us. Pray this prayer by faith. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Listen, someone just got saved. Someone gave their heart to Christ. Listen, down below, you can see down below is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to bless you. We want to pray for you. We want to lead you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. And listen, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at Amazing Grace. Down below, you can see that it's your blessings that keep us going. It keeps us onward going, Christian soldier. And so donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, thank you for allowing me to tune in with you this evening. Allow me to come into your living rooms or wherever you may be this evening. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being a blessing in our life. And I want to leave you the benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we love you. God bless you. We're looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Until then, take care and have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.